KSVY Sonoma.
You'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear.
This is Our Timeless Secrets. And our intention is to inspire heartfelt conversation through music and dialogue that ignite our passion and empower us to move in the direction of our dreams.
In other words, we're here to share our secrets and those of our guests for what works for us to make life go better than well.
Good morning and welcome to Sonoma, California. My name is Harry Blum, and I want to introduce our host, Mari Best.
Good morning. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, Mari.
Yay. What a lovely day.
It's beautiful.
And today, our show is about acceptance. Yes. That is acceptance of what is, what is in front of us on any given day. There are so many different arenas that we can go into where acceptance is so important. But today I'm talking about particularly the one where it's an opportunity to judge or an opportunity to accept. And clearly, in my book, that is, acceptance is definitely the one that serves me best and has been quite a focal point throughout my life. And I've had my lessons on acceptance given to me, and they began at a very early age. Let's face it. When you're a baby, when you're a little tiny child, you have a few ways of signaling needs, wants, and desires. And that would be through your tears, through your joy, through your wriggling around. But, I mean, there's not too much you can do as a little baby to signify what you feel about any given situation. However, as we grow, the very first people that we have to come into acceptance with, but automatically fall into that arena would be our parents or our caretakers, should I say. At that level, we're only a baby, so there's no knowledge of what's going on. So, however, we do have tools, and we do have tools that are inevitably born in us. And so, except our limited ability to communicate through sound and the facial expression, sometimes that says it all. Our parents simply must use their instinct to hopefully attend appropriately to our needs. And as we grow, we begin to accept that our parents or caregivers are, and they know best. They are the ones that know best. So, in this day and age, you know, children and babies are so much more connected. They come in with a brand new shiny set of tools. And I have actually recently just witnessed being able to converse with a 3-month-old. The child actually said hello. I was so taken aback, I didn't know where I was going, but the mother assured me that I had heard the child say hello. And so I find that totally amazing. So depending on where you may be or your journey in life, it's those formative years where we forge our pathway and begin that long road toward acceptance.
We'll be right back. chance for you, cause there's a spark in you. You just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just on the night, like the 4th of July. Cause baby, you're a firework. Come on, show them what you work. Make them go as you shoot.
And that was Firework with Katy Perry. You know, my knowledge of my baby years comes from snippets of information shared with me by my mom. And the one thing I do know is that I was very much wanted. And although my mother was extremely ill when she delivered me, there was no lack of love around me at that time, including the love of my 5-year-old brother. I remember hearing the story about the nurse, who was also my aunt, she placed me all wrapped up in a little bundle in a huge armchair and had my brother watch over me while she was doing something. And she just turned around to do whatever she's doing, and she heard some mumbling, and she turned around to look at him, and he had his face right in my face, and he was saying, "Don't talk, smile. Don't talk, smile." He did his best, but, you know, it didn't shut me up. That's why he's still in the United Kingdom, and I'm in the United States of America. Perhaps that's the reason, I don't know. Anyway, I'm sure I felt trust and love and adoration all the way. However, it's not to say that others, as I was growing up, didn't take liberties and place me in a situation that would have repercussions. During the greater part of my life, they would last for that time, quite a considerable amount of time. And let me explain. At 6 years old, I was told, to keep a secret. Uh-huh. I didn't keep it. And for that, I paid heavily for the majority of my life. I broke a promise to my father's friend that I would not say what he did to me.
Tell myself on the ride home, getting tired, hating all I've known, holding on like it's all I have. Count me out when it's clear that I find it hard to say, and you find it hard to care.
Just wanted to see if something would change in me. Yeah, well, you see, I trusted my parents, which is what a child typically will do. They feel trust. That's what they only know how. And being only 6 years old, I knew I had to tell them something, even though I'd been told not to. I told them my parents what had occurred with a family friend. And when I saw my father's rage and my mother's distress, I felt that I had done something wrong. And the memory of that happening had been erased until I was 62 years old. And the choices I had made in life due to that experience had been less than good. And now I'd like to have you listen to a piece that I have had put together around the time of that revelation a few years ago. And it's entitled, Finally Healed by My Tears.
Hi, this is Mari Best. And during the time I've been writing all these years, there have been times where my writing is joyful and sometimes when it is dealing with life topics that are not quite so joyful. And in this particular scenario, that is the less joyful kind. However, as I've always liked to say, a challenge is purely an opportunity to experience perfection. And this experience, after many years, turned into that perfection. The title is Finally Healed by My Tears. For all of these years, I felt less than. Inferior, some people might say. Though whenever I searched for the reason, no meaning would light up my way. Inside me, I felt so despondent, though my smile never gave that away. I'd be professing a positive spirit, always trying to brighten the day. Then one day, from down inside me, came a cry from deep in my soul. This was followed by flashbacks of touching that had rendered me less than whole. It seemed as though this hidden memory had finally broken free. This friend of my father was no friend at all. It was he who had violated me. I cried for the child he abused then, and felt rage when I thought of these years he had caused me to respond out of fear. Now my less than was healed by my tears. For 58 years, I had felt bad and had not one idea how so. Nature had closed down this memory till I was strong enough just to let go. I was 6 years old when this had happened. As each ugly memory unfolded, I began to remember more and more. I even had the sensation of his rough hands touching me. I got a flashback of telling my parents what had happened, and my father had become enraged, and I felt really scared. I had not seen my father angry just like that before or since. Although I always felt loved by both of my parents and protected, we never spoke of his friend again, and I never remember seeing this man again. Now, after all these years, I was feeling utterly hopeless. I felt immense grief for that little girl who had been so damaged and left feeling responsible for what had happened to my father's friendship. Needless to say, I did consult a professional therapist and got help. After some time, I was able to come to a place of healing and had yet one more lesson in forgiveness. This whole situation certainly answered a lot of questions for me, such as, why was I always trying so hard to please people? Why had I spent my entire life encouraging people to be friends and not enemies? Why did I always hold myself responsible when people didn't get along? Why did I always feel that I must follow all the rules and not make waves? Why did I let myself be taken advantage of continually throughout my life? And why had I cheapened myself by being loose? Why was I always afraid to say no? Why did I feel so unworthy? Child abuse is a devastating happening. It must always be properly reported, and parents need to be counseled in coping with their child. Children must be encouraged to report any and all abuse with the assurance that they will be well protected.
And now came the time for acceptance. I had to accept that this was now a story and that now I have a new life with newfound feelings of much greater self-esteem. And that is the good news. And I understood that this was an opportunity for me to make choices that came from a place of integrity. And I learned to accept that this was then, that was then, and this is now. And I no longer needed to fear being open and honest and the me that I am.
If you were falling, then I would catch you. You need
And that was The Way I Am, Ingrid Michaelson. Now, the other avenues of acceptance flow into the obvious channels. I look around me, and instead of being in a place of judgment over people and situations, I'm learning on a day-to-day basis the importance of acceptance and recognizing that until I accept myself as I am, I cannot expect to be accepting of others. And what I might say is that everything is a mirror of our lives and our beings. And when we finally accept who we are in this amazing world, we're simply going through the paces. It's just, it really is important to recognize this. And although I know I say it often, it is imperative that we realize that whatever we're putting out there, we're getting back in the way of a mirror. And so when we recognize that we have choice and we have in every moment, we have the ability to change our way of being from judgmental to accepting. Now, obviously, I don't know about you, but whenever I allow myself to be in judgment of another person or situation, I simply lose my good energy, and quickly it becomes apparent that I need to step back and recognize that judgment's not serving me well. I believe that John Lennon brings the words of solution on a grander scale when he says,
there's no heaven. It's easy
Imagine by the most incredible John Lennon. What a wonderful writer he was, and how sadly he was gone before he should. And you may say that I'm a dreamer. Yeah. Oh, how often I've been told that throughout my life. And you know what? I'm good on that. I'm fine on being a dreamer. And you know, when I talk to people about being in acceptance and going to that place of acceptance, it's not to say that I accept all the hideous situations that occur in our lives. I simply say that it's time to look toward what we want to have happen. And instead of judging those who have wronged us, accept that their journey and their choices came from a different set of circumstances. And they need love, not hate. And I'll share one more poem that, although I was not aware of the source, clearly I wrote this poem from a place of a wounded spirit. And it already has become a song. And it's entitled "The Child in Me." Where has all the laughter gone? Has it all been wrapped up in a heart, afraid to feel the pain of truth and loneliness? Surely there's a way to open up the heart. With gay abandon of my youth, a childlike openness for me. Remembering my childhood years, times I laughed so hard I felt I'd never ever stop and take a breath again. Now, when I'm so alone, I think about that child in me, the one I locked up long ago and hid away from evil prey, deciding to be lonely here. Now the diamond I've set free sparkles like a million stars cascading from the heaven above, a special glow that comes up when I let the child inside me dream. They were joyous moments, captured in my memory, not forgotten, always there, always there. It's all so very simple now. When I find myself in deep despair, I go inside the heart of me and find that child, the child that dwells in every single one of us, the child in me. understand the story that comes beyond that, the significance of this particular writing. I had talked at the beginning of this year about a beautiful miracle that happened with me in a physical sense. I was went through a healing for bronchial pneumonia, and as the healer was leaving my home, she asked me, she said to me, "You might want to speak to that little six-year-old child." Well, you see, I knew what she was talking about. She knew what she was talking about. I didn't have to question her about that. And shortly after she left, as ill as I felt, I got up out of my chair and I walked over to look in the mirror. And as I did, I started to picture myself as a six-year-old child. And I began to talk to that child. And all of a sudden, my voice returned. I felt totally well and totally healed. This was, to me, a miracle. And just shortly after that experience, this particular song or poem, "The Child in Me," flashed into my memory. And I thought, I seem to remember writing this piece, but it was so many years before. But ironically, I not only found that piece, I also found a piece of music that had been my inspiration for the words. Now, when I listened to the music, I reflected on the gentleman who had been one of my former accompanists that had written the piece of music. And I reflected on this incident. And I had gone to his home and I'd said to him, "Oh, I'm so excited. I have this piece that I've written. I wrote it to that beautiful medley you play." And he listened to the words and he said, "I'm sorry. I can't let you have that piece of music. It's really important to me, and I really do believe that it's going to be part of a movie, background of a movie." And I said, "Oh," I was devastated. And, well, I had to come to a place of acceptance that he wasn't going to budge on that. So he did, however, offer a replacement, and he wrote a new piece of music to go for it. And we recorded it, but whenever I performed this song, it just didn't feel right. So it had gotten shuffled away into the deep corners of my stuff and forgotten until that moment when I was in front of the mirror. Not only did I locate the piece, I've located it in its original handwritten form, I also located the original piece of music that had been written by this gentleman. So I started to think about him, and I went to the internet, and I typed in his name and Googled him, the good old Google, and his name came up, his address came up, and I was shocked when I saw in front of me the words that spoke of his being imprisoned for having touched a child. I was totally devastated. I couldn't believe that I was reading this. It was utterly shocking to me. However, this gentleman is already deceased. However, I do know his widow, and I contacted her on that very same day. And I said to her, "You know, I really would love to use that music that he had written." And she said, "You know what? I don't know if I'm ready to release that music yet. It has to go for a movie." She was still saying the same words that he had been saying. And so I tucked that thought away, recognizing that I had to come to a place of acceptance in that. However, the rest of the story is going to unfold very soon, because that music is going to be used, and I have every assurance that it will be perfect when the time allows. So you never know when acceptance of the words and the truths that are coming to you are very, very vital. You just don't know the truth behind somebody else's wishes and what and their actions. One would never have persuaded me at all that this gentleman that I had been my accompanist for many years was capable of doing anything that would remotely like this. So you, when I'm thinking about the words of acceptance and thinking about my feeling when I go to that place of judgment, I just have to remind myself that it's really okay to go to the place of acceptance of what is and then send some love in the direction of the people or the situation that is unfolding. And that is a much greater feeling. It also allows me the ability to step into a space of solution and do something about it, bring awareness, whatever it is. We go through life thinking that we can conquer everything, and you know what? We can't. We all have our ups, and we all have our downs, and I've grown to accept that. And only yesterday, I spoke to a very dear friend of mine who's been a friend for more than 47 years. And we have gone through many ups and downs in our friendship, and only yesterday did I find out that this friend had in fact suffered from depression over all these years, but she had been quiet about it because she felt she would be judged if she talked about it. So this once again brings me to this place of understanding that we're all in this together, and it's time for us to start thinking about reaching out to one another. And knowing we're not all perfect, we all have our times of sorrow, our times of joy, and we're eager to share the joy. But you know, sometimes when you share the sorrow, there's joy that comes behind that, that is so amazingly deep and so wonderful that it brings the level of friendship to a whole new crescendo, and it's a wonderful thing. So I'm going to take this opportunity to, Harry, to ask you to play this song. Thank you.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. 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 Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. When the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be.
Let It Be, a.k.a. Acceptance. Last weekend, Harry and I had the interesting experience of being in a place with the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention when they gave a Out of the Darkness walk in Modesto, California. This was a very powerful experience that I must say I was rather anxious about, being in that space, not knowing how it would feel. But I want to absolutely assure you that this was a place of absolute acceptance, in the sense of accepting that, well, for some of the people, it was accepting that they were not alone, that that there was many, many others out there who had been related to people who had committed suicide or who had had thoughts of committing suicide. And these are the things that we need to stay very, very closely aware of, that when we are out there thinking that somebody is acting strangely or being, you know, unkind or whatever we're coming into a judgment about, step back for just a moment and say, wait a minute now, how can I be of help to this person, even if it's just sending out silent I love yous to this being and letting them know that they're not alone. And in fact, at one point I recognized there was a young man sitting in front of Harry and I, and he was wearing a hood over his head, and he was in a very sort of defensive position, and I did really have a concern about him. He was totally alone until I saw a gentleman approach from in front of him and kindly lean forward and say something like, are you okay? Can I help you? And my heart just exploded with love at that point, because I realized that, yes, this is an environment where people recognize they have to reach out. And I love that. And I'd like to share with you now a poem from my book, Soul Talking, Wisdom in Rhyme, entitled Mirrors. A mirror holds a reflection of everything in your sphere. It shows of dangers behind you that may be even more near. Each time you look into a mirror, just stop, pay attention, and look. Into your eyes, they're the gateway to the pages of your life's book. When you encounter a person who brings unrest to your calm state of mind, just look closer, and with careful inspection, similarity is just what you'll find. Now, before you try to deny this, think of the things you most fear. Then re-examine the likeness before you. You will find that this truth is clear. It's inevitable, you will discover, as you go through each day with this thought, that all that you see is a reflection of the experience you have just bought. So be responsible for the mirror that you hang before each one you see. Remember that what you are showing is exactly what is going to be. And I think that poem just truly nails it. It just lets us know that this reflection is going on, and whatever, it's all about the law of attraction. That's what it boils down to, nitty-gritty. The law of attraction, what you're putting out there, you're seeing coming back. And there is some little part of us, some little corner that may feel dark. There's another corner that has the light. And it is all part of the balance of life. And for me, when I, in that conversation with my friend yesterday, she was so grateful that I finally fessed up. that I wasn't the bright, giddy, happy, joyful person 24/7. That no, there were times when I really feel pain. And, you know, I want to step up and say, we have made a commitment to one another to be buddies now, to be buddies in this time of our darkness, whenever we feel darkness. Because I can truly say that when I have felt in that place of kind of feeling desperate, feeling hopeless, I have scrolled through my phone, which has probably close to 300 phone numbers in it, and gone past many different people who I would definitely call good friends, thinking that I wouldn't dare reveal the fact that I hurt. And so I'm suggesting here that we come into acceptance of what is. We accept the fact that we have a dark side and a bright side. And when we feel at the darkest place, that we're willing to reach out and say, hey, buddy, I don't feel good. Just talk to me. Just let me know you're there. A voice on the other end of the phone can be there for you. And I think it's time that we started the buddy system. Hey, I'm starting something new here, Harry. You like that one? Yes. And
reach
and,
out, I'll be there.
Yes, exactly. Oh, do we have that happen? No. Reach out and touch. There you are. It's true. It really is true. There's no excuse. We must, as we have been brought into this place, understanding of the devastation that just happened in Washington, D.C., just the other day with the shootings, 12 or more people lost their lives at that point. And the reflection on the young man was once again that he had been a person who had a lot of dysfunction in his life. And here we go. He needed help. And I trust that there's a situation of judgment going on there too. So let's not judge. And thank you for listening today. And thank Sonoma Silver for sponsoring us, and for Large Leather for sponsoring us. And Harry, I thank you for being the best engineer anybody could ever have. And
thanks,
my
Cheryl,
dear friend,
for singing.
Cheryl. Yes. You missed Cheryl singing. It was off air.
It'll be on album. We'll have an album out.
And thank you again. This has been Our Timeless Secrets, and it is my joy to talk with you today. Thank you.
Here on Our Timeless Secrets is where you can catch a glimpse of the mystical Mari. Mari is a certified intuitive success coach, a channel, ably assisted by her spirit guides, Esophocles and Andante. Mari is the catalyst for change. She will capture an audience to facilitate individuals on how to trust feelings and take responsibility for their lives, bringing them clarity, freedom, and peace. Mari uses the simple tools of laughter, song, and poetry, and her impish Scottish wit. And of course, her spirit guides, Esophocles and Andante, are always with her. Her message is simple. Give choice, a voice, and always come from a place of unconditional love. You can be coached by Mari via phone or on Skype, or better still, in person. 707-934-7717 or email at maribest@gmail.com. That's M-A-H-R-I best, as in the very best, @gmail.com, or on the web at maribest.com.
May you always walk in sunshine, slumber warm when night winds blow. May you always live with laughter, for a smile